China's parliament greenlights a controversial Hong Kong security law, setting off a wave of uncertainty for businesses in the financial hub. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The legislation, which was passed unanimously today by 162 delegates, will bring sweeping changes to Hong Kong's legal system and punish activities deemed a threat to China's national security. It comes after months of pro-democracy protests, which began nearly a year ago amid concerns the city's high level of autonomy was in jeopardy. For international companies there, Beijing's move today brings uncertainty about what more control will mean for the city as a global financial center. Scott Salandy-DeFore is CEO of LiquidStar, which rents batteries to people in developing countries. He says now he's ready to leave Hong Kong.
From a funding perspective, we've noticed that internationally, whereas being in Hong Kong was seen as kind of like an asset, it's now kind of a hindrance. When we speak to VCs and other investors, they would prefer us not to actually be based there. It's like 99% certain that we're going to change where we are incorporated.
But Alan Zeman, the billionaire chairman of entertainment and leisure group Lan Kwai Fong, is in favor of the law.
Every country in the world has a sedition law and has all these different laws, security laws, and there's no reason that a place like Hong Kong should not have it. It'll be a non-event. People always fear the worst.
The new rules, which the city's leader Carrie Lam just this hour says won't undermine Hong Kong's autonomy, could come into force as early as tomorrow. But already, countries are responding to Beijing's move, as the BBC's Martin Yip explains.
We've heard from London. Dominic Raab, the foreign secretary for the UK, has expressed concern and is calling it a grave step. The other more significant reaction to this side of the world probably is comments from President Tsai Ing-wen of Taiwan, saying this represents the incapability or the how unworkable is one country, two system. Because when Beijing designed this system to reclaim Hong Kong from Britain, they also have Taiwan in their mind. They wanted to exercise one country, two system in Taiwan.
China hasn't fully unveiled the details of this law. Why is that?
It's hard to tell why. What we have heard from local media is they went through the parliament this morning, as we understand, and the next step that is required to make it executable in Hong Kong is to have the Hong Kong government to gazette it. Many reports are suggesting that the law can come into effect by midnight tonight.
And what's been the reaction inside Hong Kong? What could this mean economically for the city?
Economically is still a big question mark. There doesn't seem to be too much reaction from the stock market because it's been pretty much digested already in one sense. But new announcement of Washington will stop selling military product to Hong Kong. There might be some impacts on the communication sector, according to some analysts in town, but we are yet to see how much impact will that actually bring.
The BBC's Martin Yip in Hong Kong. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
A quick check of global financial markets. Shares in Asia ended largely in positive territory, taking their cue from Wall Street overnight. European shares are little changed on this final day of the second quarter. Shares of oil and gas giant Shell, though, are down nearly 3%. The company said today it'll take a charge of up to $22 billion this quarter. The coronavirus pandemic has caused a collapse in global oil prices, which are now down nearly 40% so far this year. Like many countries, India has been taking gradual steps to ease its coronavirus lockdown as it tries to revive its flagging economy. But the country is still trying to contain the world's fourth largest outbreak. The capital, Delhi, has become the biggest hotspot in the country, with more than 85,000 cases of COVID-19. The BBC's Rahul Tandon explores whether the nation's healthcare system and economy can cope.
Relatives mourning the death of loved ones, becoming more common across India. Mandeep Singh's father-in-law, Lakjeet, is a victim. The family tried desperately to get him into a hospital in Delhi after he tested positive for the coronavirus and his condition began to decline. But they were told there were no beds. Mandeep says his family's heartbreaking experience shows that the Indian healthcare system just cannot cope.
Do we fear that there would be others who will face a similar situation? Yes, absolutely. Do we believe that others are, as of today, also facing these situations? Yes, absolutely.
India needs more ambulances, it needs more hospital beds. Basically, it needs a better healthcare system. The problem is it's not spending enough money on the sector. It invests around 1% of its GDP every year into healthcare. That's one of the lowest numbers in the world. Here's the economist, Ashwini Deshpande.
What we see from Delhi's experience is that the first month of lockdown didn't really get used to create that additional facility. And that's the reason why, as the lockdown got lifted and the cases are rising, the medical system is completely overwhelmed.
That's the sound of doctors being attacked in the northern Indian city of Indore. The country currently has a shortage of 600,000 doctors and 2 million nurses. Sujata Dutta is a doctor based in Kolkata. She says the rising violence is putting many youngsters off from joining the profession.
The increase in violence towards doctors frustrates, saddens and worries us. This actually reflects a complete breakdown in the trust, which is such an important part of the doctor-patient relationship.
To give us a final overview, let's speak to a man who used to run the Indian Health Service, Keshav Desiraju. So are the problems it's facing just about a lack of funding?
Yes, obviously. But I think it's also important to say, even if it had been funded, a lot would have depended on what the funding was used for. Government has invested money, but usually in physical infrastructure, not in training, not in medicine purchase, not in equipment. That's an important factor.
India is facing an economic emergency. If it is to come out of it, it needs a more efficient healthcare system. I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.